Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Gunner and Cheyenne On Demand in episode number 35, the Gunner and Cheyenne After Show podcast. It was crazy busy last week, and we do apologize for not getting up After Show podcasts after each show. We had so many virtual meet and greets. We had so much going on with 8-Man Jam that it just was impossible to get After Show podcasts up after every show last week.
Yeah, it just wasn't happening.
And, you know, looking ahead to this week, there's nothing going on.
I couldn't be more excited for a boring week.
I know, right? Yeah. Couldn't be more excited for a boring week. But glad to be back at it. Glad to be back here with you. Hope you had an amazing weekend. Coming up on the podcast, we basically cut and pasted a segment from the show this morning. And it was a segment that I think needed to be mentioned. There's a lot of people out there in Camel Nation, in the Phoenix area, that are dealing with domestic abuse. Okay. Cheyenne dealt with it in the past. She has a friend dealing with it now. And spent some time talking about that situation. I think it was very relatable to a lot of people. And we include that in this podcast. So if you missed it, it's there for you to listen to. And then at the end, if you need help, Cheyenne provided some information as far as phone numbers and websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's needed. But always, 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 if you're listening to this right now and you need help right now, always call 911.
Absolutely. So that segment, if you want to skip ahead to listen to it, it is at about the 21-minute mark. Also, producer JP's top three to me. What do we cover today, man?
We got science, more science, and Elf 2 rumors are being put to rest.
Ooh.
Oh, they're being put to rest.
Yeah.
All right. So that's coming up. Also, we discussed Sober October, something that I think we're going to be, not that I think, that I know that we have committed to being sober throughout the whole month of October. So that and everything that we just mentioned to you is all coming at you right now in episode number 35 of the Gunner and Cheyenne After Show podcast. Enjoy.
I want to introduce you to my good friends. I'll make it fast. This is the Gunner and Cheyenne After Show podcast. What will be discussed? I have no clue. From haircuts to movies to new tattoos. It's on demand anytime, so catch the broadcast.
It's the Gunner and Cheyenne After Show podcast.
Well, Sober October is going to be quite the daunting task.
I feel like you're making it so much worse than it's going to be for yourself.
Probably. We announced earlier this morning that for the month of October, which starts on Thursday, which, I mean, I'm already going to start it now.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason for me to just go booze it up the next 3 days.
Well, I'm going to finish the beer in my fridge.
How are you?
I have, like, legit beer. Not seltzers. I have beer in my fridge I want to finish.
The only reason I went crazy yesterday with the mimosas was knowing that I was going to start today, essentially, with Sober October. And that way, I still had an extra few days on the 31 days, because normally it's October 1st, October 31st, mm-hmm. right? So if I start early, I'm okay Halloween night to start boozing again.
As long as you get 30 days in, the standard month amount of days.
The standard month. And so, and you know, I mentioned it on air, the longest I've gone without alcohol is probably a couple of weeks. Since when I started drinking when I was 21 years old.
Which, I mean, it's not like we need to set it here. Like, it's not like you are binging every night, every couple of days.
No. I mean, no. It's normally like I try not to drink during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I typically don't. it'll be Friday and Saturday. It's balls to the wall, essentially.
Yep. It's not always good.
Got catching up to do. I didn't drink Monday through Thursday, so I got some catching up to do.
Yeah, basically. Some weekends are worse than others. I finished, full disclosure, I had a half a bottle of rum on Friday. So.
That a girl.
Yeah.
And I didn't even feel it the next day. Like, I went and ran my 5K Saturday without any problem.
Yeah. No, I was hurting a little bit on Saturday because it was a vodka, rum, a little bit of everything night.
Yeah.
Wow. But it'll be interesting because I'm so used to, ever since we moved into that house, even like going back to the prior city we lived in up in Washington State,
mm-hmm.
It was every Friday or Saturday night, Friday and Saturday night.
Yep, it was.
I don't think it stopped. I don't think I've had a Friday or Saturday night without a drink.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Quite some time.
But wow. Here we go.
Here we go. See
Cheers
how it goes.
To Sober October.
If we don't show up to work on Monday, it's because our livers gave out. They're so used to they're so used to the alcohol. They're like, what is happening?
Your liver's going to take a nice vacation.
Oh, I'm excited, though. You know, I mean, I'm excited for how I'm going to feel, I think, you know, because I'm sure I could have more energy. I do feel run down at times, you know, and I know it's probably from the alcohol and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited. And my wife's excited to be on board with this as well because she talks about losing like 3 pounds throughout the week and then she puts it right back on the weekend.
Amen. Because then, you know, you drink and then you get the drunchies. Now you got a snack.
The drunchies.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get drunk and you need to snack.
Yeah, you eat more than what you typically would when you're drinking.
Oh, I'll put food away if I'm drinking.
You put some pizza away on Friday. Oh, yeah, you did.
I had two pieces.
No, you had more than that.
I had two pieces. Because when I got to your house, I was still full from my lunch quesadilla.
Oh, so you didn't eat when you got there.
Yeah, I didn't even eat. I thought you had pizza.
And then you're like, we're in the pool. And you're like, hey, whoever, you had one of the kids.
Tatum, go get me a piece of pizza.
And then you went inside and you had another piece.
No, I only had two.
Yeah, but anyway, the way I saw it in my head, I'm like, man, she's pounding some food.
No, gosh, no. Give me some slack, man.
But you can put some food away, though. I'm impressed.
I can eat.
Yeah, you can.
I get hungry, though. But I work out so much now that I can eat. And I haven't gained any weight either.
They did this thing on J.J. Watt and his brothers yesterday.
Yeah.
Were you watching that? I don't remember.
But I didn't watch it.
Yeah, they were playing in the same game yesterday. It was a family affair. So you had J.J. Watt on the Texans.
Right.
And then you had his brothers both playing for the Steelers, right? So they had this whole family piece.
Which, by the way, good-looking crew.
They are a good-looking crew.
Yeah.
I bet you they're just cocky as heck, man.
I would be. If I look like that, I'd be too.
But no, they had this piece where she makes two dinners every single day. Like, they have their first dinner at 4:30, and then at 8 o'clock, they're eating a second full dinner. And it's because of the amount of calories that they burn with all the sports they play.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me by any means. When my brother was playing college rugby, that's how he ate. Just ate and ate and ate. I don't do that, but I also don't eat big. I don't eat big breakfasts, and I don't eat big lunches. So by the time I get to dinner, I've worked out. I've walked all day. Like, I've already done a mile today, and I've sat most of the morning. Like, that's how much I walk. So then I go to the gym, and I run another 2 miles. I mean, that's a lot of calories that you're burning.
Yeah. I am a little jealous about the Watt brothers because I was watching that, what you were just talking about, Gunner. And J.J. Watt needed more fat in his diet, so he eats bacon-wrapped avocados whole.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the avocado fats, you know, I mean, that's good for you.
So good for you.
He had like 14 of them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, they also have fast metabolisms, though, man. My brother would sit and eat a whole pack of bacon and not gain a pound, but he was never into sports or anything like that. He just had a fast metabolism.
He's a lucky duck because my metabolism is like a snail.
Yeah. I don't have a metabolism either.
Yeah.
He got it all.
Well, I was rude.
I know.
Nobody in my family has a fast metabolism.
Yeah. He was the last one born. So me and my sister, it just kind of sat in the womb until my brother got it.
Whatever your mom had left, she just dumped into your brother.
She just dumped into my brother. The metabolism went right into him. I wish it was a little quicker. But anyway, how do we get on that? I don't remember. Sober October. Yeah, we're going to be giving up the booze. Oh, that's why, because when you're boozing, you're eating more and then you're gaining weight. So hopefully we'll lose a little bit of weight with all this. And we're going to be doing it for a good cause, too. We're going to try and raise some money for some breast cancer awareness charity, being that October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we're going to try and tie the two together.
Yeah.
Get a hold of us on Facebook or text of the studio at 22108 if you want to get on board with Sober October. And we'll text you back with all the details. Once this becomes a thing, we're going to put this team together. You know, we're going to do it all together.
I think I'm going to make a Facebook group. It'll be like a support group.
Yeah.
So when you need some people to tell you you're not alone, they're there for you.
What's a great beverage to consume right now? Because I am craving the alcohol.
What tastes like it but has none in it?
The freaking fake beer.
O'Doul's.
O'Doul's. I could never bring myself to do that. I don't think I'm going to be craving booze that much to go and buy O'Doul's.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Nuh-uh. No withdrawal in the world can make me do that.
So we were talking about that this morning. We also jumped into some domestic violence stuff. And we had a break, a very heartfelt break from you earlier this morning. We're going to put that break at the end of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to read some text messages that came in that I don't think I read to you after that break.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of calls that came in. You were talking to people and it got emotional and this and that. But I'm going to read these to you. And these were as a result of that break that we had this morning. And again, we'll put it at the end of the podcast so you can hear it if you missed it. Text of the 602. Cheyenne, thanks so very much for sharing your story and your friend's story. Putting yourself out there isn't easy, but you were helping so many. Bless you. Text from the 623. Cheyenne, you were so wonderful. I was that friend trying to help another friend who was stuck in that abusive relationship and couldn't get herself out. Got to a point where her toxic relationship was affecting me and I had to let her go. Make her own choices because I couldn't watch it anymore. You're such an amazing person for being there when she needed you most. You are worthy and valued to so many. Thank you for sharing your strength.
That's awesome.
You're tearing up.
I'm honestly trying to keep it together.
Yeah. Just a couple of the text messages that came in. So if you missed that break this morning, we're going to put it at the end of the podcast when we're done with everything today. But speaking of getting through some stuff so that we can get to the end of the podcast, we do it every podcast, and producer JP's top three to me, just kind of grabs some of the trending stories, throws them out there, and we discuss them.
That's right.
So no emotional ones, right?
Right now, it's not.
All right.
I've got a science article here. So there's a scientific reason that people are happier spending time with their friends rather than their family. And it's mostly because that we're doing fun stuff with our friends and we're doing chores and not as much fun things with our family, which makes time spent with our family not as much fun.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I could choose between you and hanging out with my family, I'd choose you, Gunner.
Because we drink on Friday and Saturdays.
Exactly. And now I know you judged how much I eat. Maybe I'll rethink this. Never mind.
No. It's going to be a test to our relationship in the month of October. What are we going to do with no booze?
Can I handle you without any booze?
Exactly right.
That's funny.
What else you got, man?
Dude, more science. So if you text someone, hey, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Ys, or a what with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 A's, it's saying that it's an instinct that we're using via text, because a lot of times when you communicate via text message, the communication gets lost and people go, oh, is that person mad at me? They just typed a K.
Right.
Instead of okay or okay. And you can analytically try and dissect K, the letters O and K are OKAY. So the smart people who communicate well do it via text message with extra letters, because hey with 6 Y's isn't a real word.
No, it's not. But that's how I do mine.
Oh, that's how I talk all day long.
Yeah. When I send a text message or whatever, or an email, I always put extra thought into how it's going to be perceived on the other end, right?
Same, yeah.
Because I've had so many instances in the past where there was just so much undue, unneeded tension and headbutting mm-hmm. over a over an email or text message that was just misinterpreted.
Yeah.
So even if make fun of me for using emojis, I don't care. Make fun of me for saying hey, you know.
I don't care. You text me, you go hey, lady.
Well, no, because you'll be yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do that, but you'll text me something like that is like oh wow, uh-huh. right? Like so and so did this. And I'll reply with and a question mark.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what?
Yep. And that's what I hear. I hear that in my brain when I read that.
Because if it was just anybody. But if it was just what? And question mark.
It would be like,
it's
what
a
are you
different
talking
response.
About? Yeah. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? I get that.
Totally. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Man. It's good. And science has proven that we're we're right with what we do. How about that?
That's not all the time. That's very rare.
No.
So that's good.
I've been bursting at the seams to tell you this last story, and we didn't get to talk about it last week. But you guys know that I'm a big, big Christmas fan, right?
Yeah.
Love the movie Elf, right?
Yeah, yeah. You have an elf costume.
Is there a sequel?
That's what I'm going to talk to you about.
Ooh.
So there's a reason why the Elf 2 sequel hasn't happened.
Okay.
So James Caan, the guy who plays Buddy the Elf's biological father in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He said in an interview recently that they were going to do Elf 2, but the director, Jon Favreau, and Will Ferrell couldn't get along. They couldn't be in the same room. So that's the reason after all these years of all of us waiting for all this time that Elf 2 never happened.
Really?
Couldn't they just come up with another director or no?
That's the point, is that I guess to try and summarize this whole thing was that Favreau is tied to the movie, so they can't do it
you
with another director
a-
with the contract. Contractually, is that the word?
Yes.
Contractually, they couldn't because he's
so
tied to the movie.
He's tied to the movie, so he's tied to the movie Elf, right?
Yes.
Couldn't you do a spinoff called Buddy? Right?
Should have been a lawyer, Gunner.
I think you can, right? But my assumption is there would be some kind of a compete issue. Like, Will Ferrell could not play Buddy in elf form. Because would be portraying the same character, but not in the elf sense.
But, I mean, how many American Pies have spun off of the American Pie, right? So, but none of the original actors are in. Well, no, some of them are.
Some of them are, but I'm sure there's something like it's a different, like they already had, like they all agreed to allow that to happen. Like, I don't assume that director, if you went to him and said, hey, we want to do a sequel, can you sign your rights basically and allow some, but no, that's not going to happen.
That seems, I mean, there's probably some language in there, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of money being made.
Also, could you genuinely see an Elf 2 doing any justice to the original Elf?
No, but how did Elf end?
Jovi and Will Ferrell, so Zooey Deschanel's character and Will Ferrell's character had a little baby. They had a little baby elf.
Oh, that's right.
Why don't I remember that?
And they lived happily ever after.
See, then how do you even, you can't even make, I wouldn't make a sequel of it.
What?
I know you people would like one, but I wouldn't make a sequel.
Well, it'd be tough without having Will Ferrell, because he's kind of who made that
exactly.
movie, right? But you could do, it could be a Buddy thing where his kid grows up to be, you know, a giant elf too. But
I mean, you could, but will it have the same gumption? Will it have the same?
No, it wouldn't. No, but
you know,
do sequels ever do?
It's my point. Like, why ruin Elf and what it is for a sequel?
Oh,
that
like
may
Home
or may not
3.
Be good.
Remember Home Alone 3? It wasn't.
Exactly.
Macaulay Culkin was another kid.
So why ruin it? Just leave it.
Well, it is. It
kind of like
get
with
left.
All the Sandlots. You should have just left it after the first.
Yeah,
one.
But I mean, well, what if Will Ferrell plays Santa?
No,
like because he's an elf or whatever. No.
No.
Right. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out, like, no, because he plays Santa, and then you have this new buddy, Buddy Junior.
I see where you're at. I just don't see.
Because I mean, if Will Ferrell is trademarked as the elf, and he can't do that
without that director,
he can't wear that elf outfit because it's trademarked. So then he wears the Santa outfit, right? I don't know. I mean, there's obviously reasons why it hasn't been created now, and now we know the reason why. But still, you think that there'd be ways around it, but obviously not. You know,
if their fancy attorneys would have found a way.
Yeah, they would have figured it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, then the same thinking the way we do. I mean, unless it's going to be the primo sequel, like the Hangover sequels were. Those were good.
Yeah.
I thought they were great.
Oh, I do agree with that. That I think that's the one movie where I feel like the sequels did the original justice. Yeah.
And it's tough to do a great sequel if you're trying to dodge legal things and get around certain things.
Well, they suck when there's not all the original characters, too.
Yeah.
Like, I hate series. Like, I really love One Man Standing with Tim Allen. But
Last
Man Standing. Yeah. But I hate that they have changed two of the daughters, like, twice.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
but, I mean, that was one season they changed her out, right?
It was. It's Mandy has now changed. They're on their third Mandy. Because it was the original Mandy with the pilot. And then it changed to who's done it this whole time. And now it's some blonde chick.
Yeah, the blonde one has been on there for a while now, though.
Yeah, and I'm not about it. I don't
like it. No. Mandy's changed once, but the other daughter's changed once, too. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, Kristen has changed as well. Mandy has changed three times. They're on the third Mandy. And Kristen has been changed twice. No, maybe. Now that I think about it, maybe it was the original Mandy all the way through, but then Kristen got changed because she was dating the her oldest son's dad was with the Jonas brother.
Yeah.
Which was so weird. That's in the pilot. That was the pilot series. And that was interesting because it was like, you know, out of wedlock in high school, and it was just weird to see Joe Jonas procreate in that manner.
They don't break it down as to the Mandy's yet. I'm sure if I were to really read this, it would lay it out, but I mean, it's not in like graph form for me to like glance
over.
To
the point, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
I don't feel, because I'm an emotional person, I connect emotionally. And when you change characters, I no longer give a flying flip about that person because I don't know you.
And that's why the show didn't do well on ABC. I mean, I feel like it did, even though they changed out the characters. I feel like it did well.
I don't know.
But I mean, now it's on Fox.
No, it's on Fox. It came off of ABC because Tim Allen's political views were clashing with ABC, so they took him off, and that's why he's now on
that.
Fox.
Yeah. Well, everybody have a great day. We're going to air that segment we were talking about earlier in the podcast where Cheyenne kind of shared the story of where she is kind of helping out a friend of hers that is going through some domestic violence and hits close to home to you because you are a victim of domestic violence.
I am.
So we're going to share that with you right now. It's Camel Country, 107.9, the Valley's new country leader. Domestic violence. Man, it's one of those things that you wish nobody had to deal with, but it happens. Years ago, Cheyenne was in a relationship where there was a lot of domestic violence. You were kind of trapped in that relationship to an extent.
I was. I was trapped. I was moved 1,000 miles away and basically kept in a house. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere by myself. And it's much longer than that, but it was a horrible situation.
From what I understand of it and what you've told me, I mean, it was a lot of mental abuse as well, and a lot of
was a lot of emotional and mental abuse. It was a lot. I don't think I've ever in my entire life have been told that I'm so worthless so many times.
Yeah.
And I would never be anything. I only had what I had because of him. And I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
But you eventually were able to remove yourself from that relationship and make yourself better because of it, right?
Yeah.
So fast forward to where we are now, strong, independent woman doing your thing, rocking it, right?
Right.
And then you have a friend back home that is kind of in that exact situation.
Honestly, I think it's the thing about domestic violence is that every situation is so different. Not everyone looks the same. And I think if you were to put our story side by side, hers is much worse because it's not just battling domestic violence. I found out after starting to try to help her that there's also an addiction issue that was brought on by her abuser. So I found out when I was back home in July, she told me about this guy she had started to see, and I knew right away he was bad news. And I told her, I said, either you have to choose our friendship or you're going to have to choose this relationship because I know what's coming down the pipe for you, and I'm not going to be able to sit and watch this happen. And of course, she chose him because I was 1,000 miles away, not there every day, right? Mm-hmm. And I broke off communication because I could not watch it because I knew she wasn't going to listen to me. So fast forward to Sunday, I finally got a phone call from her mom, and her mom basically begged me to call her because it was getting bad. She wasn't eating. She wasn't sleeping. She's lost, you know, in 2 months, she's lost like 2-3 pant sizes. Her eyelashes are falling out because she's pulling them out, and they're falling out from stress and all of these things. So I did that. I reached out to her. She answered the phone right away when I called. I told her that I knew what was happening. And was just trying to be a friend because I had already talked to other people who said that they tried to hard love her, you know, tell her that she's being stupid. Why don't you just leave? And the thing about domestic violence is that if you're not in it, if you've never been in it, you don't understand how hard it is to actually leave, to actually, especially when there's so much verbal abuse happening, how do you even find the courage in your insides to stand up and say, I do have enough courage. I am strong enough, because you've been told for so long that you're not.
Well,
so,
you fear for your safety as well, too, right? I mean, and that's part of it.
And that's the other thing, is this person is a known gang member where we're from, and there's so many people that he knows, whether he's liked or not, because it doesn't really matter at that point. So I finally, this is literally all last week, from the moment I got off work to the time I went to bed, my entire week was consumed with trying to pump her brain with positivity and, you can do this. You are so strong. You are nothing that he's telling you. And quite honestly, this person in particular is really a coward. He really talks a big game, but he's not. And every time, at the end of every day, it was, you're right, I'm ready, I'm done, I can leave, I can do this. And she would leave. And then for some reason, she would go back. And I didn't know until about halfway through the week last week, I found out that he had given her some pills, and now she was addicted. She's a full-on drug addict. And I didn't know this.
So when she tries to leave, she needs to have that fix.
Now,
so she goes back.
Yes, now she's battling a fix. And I had no idea. So finally, at the end of last week, if you listened, you know I didn't have a voice, and this is why, because there was so much talking involved. And going through the week, it was so exhausting because every single message I sent her had to be methodical. So my brain was on from the time I got up to the time I went to bed, because I either needed to put my message directly towards her and I needed her to hear what I was saying, or I was changing the way that I was talking so that I was talking at him through her, so that he knew that we knew exactly what was going on. And so what ended up happening is, by the end of the week, when I found out that it was an addiction, because she lied to my face over FaceTime, which she has never done to me in our entire friendship, I finally had to take a step back and say, okay, if this is the life that you're choosing, that's on you. I offered to the last money in my bank account to fly her down here, give her room and board free. She wouldn't have had to pay for anything. And
right.
She just blew it off and blew it off and blew it off. And then he was posting live videos of her on Facebook, I showed you, because you know her.
Yeah.
And then I took a still of that and I put it side by side from 2 months ago of her face. And you can just tell the deterioration that just mentally, physically, that she has gone through. So
where are we at now?
Now, on Saturday, nobody had heard from her for 15 hours. So we were able to take out a missing persons report with the police. She is now 2 hours away from him. She is on the process of detox.
Okay.
She is safe, thank goodness. But the point is that if you're in a situation, no matter how bad, and the addiction, it doesn't matter. Because if you have one person trying to give you that hand to help you get out, take it. Because there will be a safe place for you. Because I didn't have that. I didn't have anybody reach out to me to help me. I had to leave on my own because I was going to die. So if you are in this situation, and even if one person is like, hey, I'm here for you, take it. Because the next day, it could be a missing persons ad and they might not find you.
Yeah.
This is a big deal, you know, and I'm just happy that she's alive and she's safe and she's in, you know, a place where she can grow and move forward. But last week was exhausting.
If you don't know where to go, text us, hit us up on Facebook, and we'll get you the right resources.
Absolutely.
Our text number is 22108. Hit us up, facebook.com/camel1079. We have contacts here locally.
We do.
And Cheyenne, she knows what you're going through. And
I will be here for you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what my last week has been like. It's been very taxing mentally, emotionally, and even physically, because the amount of sleep that I lost over the last week has just been, it's the number is up there. But I really want to end the podcast on a couple of notes, because sometimes when you're in a relationship that you know is either toxic or unhealthy, because you just feel like you don't get along, in fact, it's the case more times than not is that it's probably an abusive relationship. So just a couple of quick things. Any form of using intimidation, if you're afraid of him coming home because you don't know what kind of attitude he's going to have, or she, this goes both ways because men are also victims of domestic right. violence. If they ever smash things, destroy things, you know, threaten you with weapons, that's actual abuse. If they're using emotional abuse, like putting you down, and this, I think this is one of the ones that people overlook the most. However, it has such an impact because it leaves an emotional bruise, and those are really hard to heal. So if he's ever putting you down or your friends down, making you feel bad about yourself, calling you names, making you think that you're crazy, that the abuse didn't happen, that you just dreamt it, those are forms of abuse. If he's controlling what you're doing, making sure, checking your phone, seeing who you're talking to, treating you like his servant, making all of the big decisions, using children against you, not allowing you to get a job or making it hard for you to keep your job, forcing you to, not really forcing, but you have to ask him for money. You don't have any access to that. All of that is abuse. It doesn't matter which way you cut that pig. It's still abuse. And if you are in any of these situations, I want you to know that there is help. You're not alone. I am right here. I am flesh and blood. You're listening to me right now, and I can tell you I know what you're going through. I know how you're feeling, and there is help. There's an organization here in Phoenix that I absolutely love. The organization is called Chrysalis, and their website is called noabuse.org. And what I love about this website is it has a safety exit. So if you are on this website and your abuser comes in and you don't want them to see what you're on, you just click this button. It automatically, it pops up a new web link, and it turns their page into local news. So that protects you from them knowing that you're seeking help. Their phone number, if you ever need them, is 602-944-4999. And then also the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Their phone number is 1-800-799-7233. And they are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can text them. You can call them. They're always available. But if you need help right now, always, always, always call 911, because your life is not worth being lost to domestic violence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.